Not a judge or a jury.
Not fake electors.
Nope. The 24 election and the fate of democracy hinges on, say it with us, vibes.
This is Vibes Only, a podcast that checks the vibes of American politics each and every week. And the vibes this week...
I just signed into law the national security package that was passed by the House of Representatives this weekend and by the Senate yesterday.
We'll talk about the vibes after that bill was signed, which includes a for sale of TikTok.
Then we'll be talking about the many, many updates to Trump facing justice for his attempts to interfere in the 2016 election and his attempts to overturn the 2020 election.
Then we'll talk about two prominent legacy GOP politicians who both acknowledged Trump's big lie for what it was, but arrived at very different conclusions as to what is best for the country moving forward.
Now, you said repeatedly that he knew well that he lost the election. You had said that someone who engaged in that kind of bullying about a process that is fundamental to our system and to our self-government shouldn't be anywhere near the Oval Office. I guess I have trouble squaring that.
Well, no, because...
Stick around for an It's Giving, check-in on our group chat, and a good vibe on consumer protection for air travel.
TGIF.
It's Friday, gonna get the... Yes, it's not our usual time.
It's not our usual time. But, you know, it's kind of nice to be on a Friday vibe.
It is. So I got a bunch of DMs yesterday because I didn't proactively post about it, which was a mistake. Our producer, Devin, who we absolutely adore, was sick this week. So we pushed recording back. And honestly, thank God we did, because more has happened in the last 48 hours that I want to talk about than has happened in a 48-hour period in a long time. So we have a ton to get into.
Truly. Let's get into it. Let's start with a very large bill that was on Biden's desk on Thursday. Ukraine, Israel, Taiwan aid, and the forced TikTok sale was slipped in there.
In with a bang, passed with a whimper? I mean, have been talking about this for months. We've been talking about the TikTok ban / forced sale for months, and it is now law. It was passed by both the House and Senate. President Biden signed it this week. And it honestly feels like it didn't really get that much attention.
Totally. It feels like a tumbleweed. No. As someone who spends a lot more time on TikTok than you do, we are not seeing much action. I will say a very, very prominent one of the original content creators, Emma Chamberlain, who is a huge YouTuber, was a big TikToker. Very interestingly, she posted her first TikTok in a very long time. So I'm wondering, there's now this dialogue on TikTok of keeping users on the platform. I think in the first iteration of this bill is going to be passed, a month and a half ago, it was everyone move to Meta, everyone meet me over there. And now creators are saying, no, we're staying. And, you know, they have a long time for this to work out.
Well, did you see that they took my idea? When we had Taylor Lorenz on the podcast, who listeners may remember is very anti-TikTok bill, I asked her, I was like, well, what if they doubled the length of time that they were giving TikTok to sell? Would you then be in favor of it? And she had a very different opinion on that. But that's what they ended up doing. So they extended the period of time that TikTok will have for ByteDance to divest to a year. So nothing is changing about TikTok right now, because I did get a bunch of questions about that. It's not about to drop off of your phone. They have a full year for buyers to negotiate and for a sale to go through unless it is stopped by a court.
I'm happy it's going to stick around, one, for personal reasons, two, because it is such a huge and super important communication tool for this election cycle and beyond. I saw a stat today that was 18 to 24-year-olds spend an average of 2.5 hours on TikTok per day. And we got to meet them there. You know, first-time voters, we got to communicate with them there.
It's a lot of time.
A lot of time.
So we're talking about the TikTok portion of this legislation because that's what we have been following most closely on Vibes Only. But this was just one piece of this four-part bill. We could spend an entire episode diving into just the drama of how this piece of legislation came together. The moral of the story, the TLDR, is Democrats came to the rescue again, and they passed this bill, the aid to Ukraine, aid to Israel, aid to Taiwan, which is controversial. But the bottom line is that we've been talking about these bills for many months. It was very unclear what their path through the House would be. And two things happened. They passed the bills with a majority of Democratic support. And for the time being, MAGA Mike Johnson has kept his seat, which we just don't know if that will continue to be the case. My guess is yes, but a big deal in the House.
Totally. Because going into this, he was at risk of losing his job over this bill. And now it's law, and no news is good news for MAGA Mike Johnson.
Yeah, I think that Marjorie Taylor Greene says she's still going to force a vote on the motion to vacate. But I think it's TBD when exactly that happens. And it would be up to Democrats whether they want to save him or not.
Save, right. Oh, what a nightmare. What a nightmare.
So keep scrolling. TikTok's not going away. And now we get to follow the litigation as that unfolds and the speculation over who might own TikTok next. Yeah,
who might buy. And just to take a step back, the litigation that we might see here is all around, or mostly around, and will be around the First Amendment, freedom of speech. I'm sure we're going to maybe see some antitrust litigation because we've gone through this before of like how many people could actually buy this. Not many. It would be very, very, very expensive. So what does that look like? But we'll be thinking about that in a year. That's a problem for a year from now.
Totally. Yeah. My guess is we'll be talking before then, but we'll see. Also, top of mind this week are Trump's many legal woes, because they are piling up more than water glasses when I'm home visiting my family in my bedroom.
Okay. If I was your family, I would be very annoyed with you.
Wait, don't you do that? Everyone does that. Don't you?
No.
Oh my God. Well, if you have stairs in the house, I'm not bringing this water glass downstairs, girl. Like, come on. It's going to sit there.
Why not? You brought it carry in, carry out.
I have like six. I have to stay hydrated. You're all about that.
Water bottle. Okay, Trump has a lot going on. One, okay, question for you, because I've been debating it. Will you go down to FiDi Civic Center?
Glenn has texted me about this. No, I'm not going down there. What am I going
to? I kind of want to.
I have no interest.
I want to go into the overflow room and just see, because Donald Trump has to appear every day in court here in New York City. We've talked about this trial now ad nauseum, where he did pay off adult film star Stormy Daniels to not publicly disclose and talk about their sexual relationship.
Yes, I strongly support you going there as our vibes only correspondent, and I will anchor from here with my inside.
Yes,
and I'll call out to you, and you can do man on the street interviews down at the courthouse. How
totally
about that?
Maybe I'll get in the press line. I was just gonna try and go in like the normal line as like whatever citizen of America.
Yeah, even if you offered me a reserved seat inside the courtroom, I don't think that I would go. I'm being dead ass. I really don't think I would.
Yeah, I believe you.
Okay, so that trial is underway, and we are still at time of recording waiting to hear whether or not Trump is going to be held in contempt of court for once again attacking the judge and his family. He like repeatedly is violating the gag order from the judge, and so we're not sure exactly what's going to happen there, but there's one.
He's not just fully violating the gag order. Trump is saying he's responding to political attacks, but he's responding and talking about Stormy Daniels and Michael Cohen, who are involved with the trial. Like, he cannot be speaking publicly about this trial. He's like going so beyond the gag order.
Totally.
It's truly, I mean, I would say it's shocking. It's not shocking, but like, I think we've talked about this. Could he just go to jail? Didn't we ask Emily Amick this? Like, can we just put him in jail?
We asked Katie Grossbart about it. Yeah, I think that a normal person who violates a judge's orders are jailed pre-trial. Mm. The whole thing is a lot messier than it would be if this were a movie, you know? I'm like, if this were a film, then the jury would be sequestered and like one of them would have like just come out of a bunker or something and didn't know like what an iPhone is.
Right.
And like, I don't know, it would be very different in the movie version of this, and they're all just like
Matthew McConaughey would be involved.
Exactly. And now we just have like these jurists who are going home and reading Trump's caps lock diatribes on Truth Social in between like days. It's so bizarre to me. So strange. Okay, so that's Legal issue for Trump, number one, is the New York trial that is ongoing and to put the hammer about to drop regarding his violation of the gag order. Then,
number two,
we have a new threat, new legal threat to Donald Trump coming from Michigan, where he's been named as a co-conspirator in a entirely new front on the legal battle to hold people accountable for the fake elector schemes. And so Trump and several of his cronies, what are we calling them? The criminal enterprise that surrounds him.
Yeah.
Have been
the criminal rat pack
under investigation by Attorney General Dana Nessel of Michigan. And we now have the tea that like they are coming after Trump here for his attempt to overturn the election results in Michigan.
Yes. He tried to submit a certificate that falsely claimed that he won Michigan's 2020 election. What? You can't just write on a piece of paper, I won.
I would cry if I didn't laugh. Like, it's so bananas. And it just, being on the internet these days feels like just being gaslit all the time.
1,000%. So it's also Mark Meadows, who was Trump's chief of staff, and Rudy Giuliani, who was his personal lawyer, lest we forget. They are unindicted co-conspirators. So this is the whole crew.
So we don't know a ton about this case yet. And right as we're learning more, another bombshell drops, which is that in Arizona, we now have an indictment from a grand jury charging Rudy Giuliani, Mark Meadows, and other Trump allies in election interference in Arizona. Both of these just happened in the last 48 to 72 hours.
Yeah.
This is, a whole new legal battle for the Trump criminal gang related to their efforts to undermine an election. And like, what is more clear to me this week than it's ever been is that there was this group of individuals mm-hmm. who, after losing a national election, flew around the country from state
they went
to
on
state
tour
and
they literally went on tour
and did absolutely everything they could, including submitting fake documents and naming fake electors and literally anything that they could to overturn the free and fair election that we had and to stay in power.
It's, to your point, it's so gaslighty. Like, I'm just envisioning like Rudy Giuliani, like over a sink, like we did in middle school, burning the edges of paper and like going to
the tea bags,
literally.
Oh my God.
Creating fake documentation. Being like, we won. This is so
we found this clearly new document from the founding fathers that said Donald Trump can serve one more term.
Literally, we found a new constitutional amendment that says Donald Trump is always right. And you can smell the Lipton teabag on it. It's so deeply unserious, except that it is so deeply serious. And that is the conundrum that we as citizens of this country find ourselves in.
Absolutely. The fact that people want to put these humans back in office is bananas. It's like hard to get
it's
through
bananas.
The day.
Also, is that the country you want to live in, where we're allowing people to literally create their own rules, which we'll continue to talk about in a second with the Supreme Court and Trump's presidential, I'm using air quotes, immunity,
right?
You know, looking forward in this country, like this is not America. We have a moral compass.
Right. You brought it up. So the last issue that Trump is facing is around SCOTUS. Can you talk to us about what is happening at the Supreme Court just a few hours before we're recording this?
Yeah. So a few hours before we sat down to record Vibes Only, like and subscribe, we heard oral arguments from the lawyers with the Supreme Court for his immunity claim. And the vibe that we are getting from the six conservative justices is that they are going to send this back down to lower courts because there's part of it. Again, I'm not a lawyer, but I'm an apprentice to the court. They don't feel like it was hashed out enough. And we have some of the exchange today from the oral arguments we're going to hear now.
Did I understand you to say, well, you know, if he makes a mistake, he makes a mistake. He's subject to the criminal laws just like anybody else. You don't think he's in a special, a peculiarly precarious position?
He's in a special position for a number of reasons. One is that he has access to legal advice about everything that he does. He's under a constitutional obligation to, he's supposed to be faithful to the laws of the United States and the Constitution of the United States. And making a mistake is not what lands you in a criminal prosecution. There's been some talk about the statutes that are issue in this case. I think they are fairly described as malum in se statutes.
I'm not discussing the particular facts of this case.
Whenever I question my decision not to go to law school, I just have to listen to some Supreme Court oral arguments, and I'm like, yeah, I made the right decision.
Same.
The most important thing that they said there was a mistake does not land you in criminal prosecution. That is the heart of what this particular argument is about. They are arguing, should the president be immune to all prosecution, no matter what they do while in office? And the conservative argument here is, oh, if you say that a president could be charged with a crime, they're going to have to walk on eggshells. They're going to be so afraid to do anything wrong. It's going to be abused that like people are going to prosecute them for something very simple that they accidentally touched that button. They didn't really mean to. And it's like, no,
right.
We are talking about like willful, committed, long-term conspiracy to commit a criminal act. That is what Trump did. That is what is at hand right now. And that is what they must allow him to be held accountable for.
Totally. And they need to be saying that more directly. There's a lot of...
I had to Google malum in se, which is a Latin phrase,
yeah, I'm like,
which means evil in itself.
I'm not here for that. I'm here for straight shooting, straight talking. What are we talking about here? It just like makes... all of this seems so much more benign than it actually is. And to your point, it's not just like, oops, I slipped and I fell on the nuke codes. My bad. It's, I've been thinking about this. And not even, like, we have the receipts. Mm. Trump was tweeting. We know where his head space was and his mindset. Because he told us, as he always does.
On the other side of this case, we have our favorite, my favorite, your favorite is Clarence Thomas. My favorite is KBJ, Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson, who basically argued, if we say in this ruling that the president is immune from all prosecution, what possible disincentive would there be for the most powerful?
You seem to be worried about the president being chilled. I think that we would have a really significant opposite problem if the president wasn't chilled. If someone with those kinds of powers, the most powerful person in the world, could go into office knowing that there would be no potential penalty for committing crimes. I'm trying to understand what the disincentive is from turning the Oval Office into, the seat of criminal activity in this country.
Exactly. to buy into Trump's lawyers' arguments that the president could have a political opponent assassinated and not face prosecution or accountability is to say that one American at least actually is above the law and to greenlight an absolute criminal free-for-all in the country. It's crazy.
Free-for-all. And, you know, you brought up Clarence and I want to bring him up one more time because I forgot to mention this is a case in which it could have made sense for him to recuse himself. Just to remind the Vibes Only audience about my personal vendetta against him, his wife, Jenny Thomas, is a conservative organizer. And on January 6th, she was fire fingers texting away Mark Meadows, Trump's chief of staff, saying, stop the steal. How can we stop the steal? So, you know,
right.
I don't know what's happening behind closed doors at the Thomas household, but safe to say that Clarence isn't necessarily the most impartial here.
Right. I mean, no one would be shocked for Jenny Thomas to be named in the Arizona or Michigan indictments.
I hope.
Like no one would have been shocked by that. And so the idea that you have this justice ruling on several cases involving this effort to overturn the election, and at the same time, his wife could potentially be named in front of a grand jury is wild. It's a wild time.
It's wild. Like, Clarence, don't phone in that day. Don't show up that day. Call in sick. We don't need you. We don't want
you. Wait, was he back in person?
Yeah.
Sad. Why did no one tell me that?
I'm not going to miss this one.
Dang. Oh my gosh. I was truly hoping that we were going to get a cardboard cutout or something. Weekend at Bernie's, maybe.
Or like literally, or like a hologram.
Yeah.
We have one more legal thing to talk about with SCOTUS, which was the case that they heard this week on emergency abortion services and if states would have the right to perform them where in a state where abortion was outlawed. And what will come as a shock to probably no one, the six conservative justices seem to be saying that it would, in fact, or they might rule when it's ruling time that it is illegal for doctors to perform life-saving services to individuals who need it. Not a great week for women in America.
No, it has not been. It gets worse too. Well, maybe not worse than this, but there's more. If I'm understanding correctly, this is all the result of Biden's efforts to try to hold on to some bare minimum level of reproductive rights in states that have abortion bans, where they used this law called the Emergency Medical Treatment and Labor Act, EMTALA, to say if a woman is at risk of dying or having serious health complications or something, unless she is able to receive abortion care, you are required as a hospital to provide that care, even if there's an abortion ban in the state. And they tried and they implemented that as a federal law. And these conservative states that want no abortions at any weeks for anyone under any circumstances fought that and said, no, we shouldn't have to. We shouldn't have to do any abortions. Mm-hmm. And even if someone's health is in dire straits. And that's how we got to the Supreme Court with this case from is the law from Idaho.
I mean, it's just kind of really horrific to think that these six individuals who have no, they're not doctors, they don't know. Because these are not just like a woman shows up with bad cramps saying, I need help. It's you're hemorrhaging, you're bleeding out, you are in a medical emergency. So to think that you wouldn't be able to receive the appropriate life-saving care is horrific.
Yeah. And in the oral arguments for this case this week, they brought up several real circumstances where this happened to women. In one of them stuck out to me that I listened to. In Florida, a woman comes to the hospital in need of medical attention, is experiencing a medical emergency. And they say, like, you need to have, I don't know all the medical terminology, but you need to have like some kind of an operation, a surgery to have this removed right now. It's a non-viable pregnancy, et cetera, et cetera.
Like a DNC.
Yeah. So she's having this condition. They said, you're not going to die if you don't have it, but it is going to like burst and you could have like sepsis. And so they send her away. They say, no, we can't do it because you won't die if we don't do this. Send her away.
But you will. Sepsis kills you.
Well, right. So then the next day that happens and she like passes out and is, as you're noting, hemorrhaging, is bleeding and is brought to the hospital. And now they're like, okay, now you're going to die. Now we can say you're going to die if we don't do this. So now we can do it. And it's like, what kind of medical system is that? That's bananas.
And by the way, we're going to charge you $800,000 for this procedure if you don't have health insurance.
Totally. Right. I mean, it was pretty horrifying. And I think that that's what was raised in oral arguments in a much more articulate manner than I'm raising it here. And it was actually Amy Coney Barrett who, when the lawyers responded and they were like, yeah, like that's the standard, basically. She said she was, quote, kind of shocked. So maybe that's a glimmer of hope that we could see, we could avert the worst kind of ruling here, but truly, who knows?
Yeah. I mean, I do think until we hear just how right the conservative repro movement is, we can't even imagine how far they want to push it. So to have Amy Coney Barrett, who is a conservative justice, say, oh, that's a little shocking. It's like, okay, yeah, let's replay that moment as much as we can, because it is shocking. It is dehumanizing for women.
What stuck out to me was that she was shocked because that didn't match what the Idaho medical experts had said when they testified in favor of the ban. Is they were like, oh, well, we would say as doctors, like, I would just do it anyway. And I would say that it's that I can in good conscience say that it was life threatening. But that decision would in reality be left up to each individual doctor. And so it just depends on who's on call that night, whether or not you're going to get the treatment that you need. And it's an interesting, larger structural problem with the conservative movement broadly paying tons of money to expert witnesses to support their bad science, whether it's on reproductive rights or on trans healthcare or on climate change or whatever, just this like information war. And so they tricked a Supreme Court justice with it. Like it worked. It duped Amy Coney Barrett into thinking that the law was something that it wasn't, because they brought these people in who were benevolent and said, oh, it'll be totally fine. We're going to ban it all. And don't worry about
it. Yeah. Barrett actually went further when the attorney, Joshua Turner, responded that doctors can use their, quote, good faith medical judgment under Idaho's life-saving exemption. But then Barrett was like, well, what if the prosecutor thinks differently?
Right.
Because as we talked about last week, there's so much power in prosecuting or not prosecuting. So this, I mean, there's also Elena Kagan. She talked about, which I was thinking about this. There's these situations where these women, you know, are at risk of maybe not losing their lives, but they might lose their reproductive organs, which then means they can't create life, which for conservatives is their entire MO. Like no recreational sex. You should only be sleeping with other, you know, heterosexual couples should only be sleeping together to create babies. And it's like, well, now you're creating laws that are taking away that right for women. So what do you want?
Totally. Right. What if we, and I know this is out there. I know this is out there. But what if we just gave people the healthcare they need? What do you think?
Imagine that.
It would be kooky, but we could try it just for a while. See how it goes. What do you think?
You know my universal healthcare for all flag.
Ugh, adios.
I'm going to pivot, Brian, and we're going to talk about two prominent legacy GOP politicians who were both in the news this week, both had access to the same information, and have both acknowledged that Trump tried to steal the 2020 election, but now they are out there talking about it in two wildly different ways. Bill Barr, who you may recall was Attorney General under Donald Trump, who again has said that Trump tried to steal the 2020 election, said he will support Donald Trump in 2024, and has said that there's no greater threat to democracy than Joe Biden.
The theme of the week is gaslighting.
Clowns.
It's gaslighting. It's gaslighting. Can we play a clip of Bill Barr testifying before the January 6th committee? Because homeboy had a story to tell. When he had a mic in front of his face, he had a lot to say about how Donald Trump was a threat to America and did literally should be nowhere near the Oval Office ever again.
I made it clear I did not agree with the idea of saying the election was stolen and putting out this stuff, which I told the president was bullshit.
And now, cut to genuflecting in front of the altar of Trump. Like, what is happening? It's so crazy. People always think that it's blackmail. People like in my DMs, I always hear like, what does Trump have on these people? What does he have on them? And it's like, no, they are jellyfish. They have no spine. They just want power and relevance and paychecks. And the way to get those things, if you are a Republican in 2024, is to kiss Donald Trump's ring.
Totally. Can I read you the tweet that Trump did on Truth Social?
Oh, God. Okay.
Wow, former AG Bill Barr, who let a lot of great people down by not investigating voter fraud in our country, had just endorsed me for president, despite the fact that I called him, quote, weak, slow-moving, lethargic, gutless, and lazy. New York Post, he literally cited himself. Based on the fact that I greatly appreciate this wholehearted endorsement, I am removing the word lethargic from my statement. Thank you, Bill, MAGA 2024. Like, get a grip.
Oh, my God.
So deeply, again, Republicans, so deeply unserious, yet so serious.
That's
like,
so...
We have to take them seriously, but it's like WWE, so camp.
Right. It's literally, it's like, it's so entertaining. And that's what they really want
that's
at
the end
of the day. Right. Is that it's just keep the show going. And so to your point, while Bill Barr finally bent the knee, Liz Cheney has done the exact opposite. And while she did not serve in the administration, she has been in Republican leadership for many, many years. And her father, of course, was the former vice president. So this is like a steeped Republican political family. And she just dropped an op-ed about why the Supreme Court should very swiftly rule on Trump's immunity claim, kicking it to the curb so that we can have this dang trial. And the people can know who they're voting for, which is, hope by that point in time, should be a convicted felon in November.
Yeah. A liar, cheater. But, you know, the failing New York Times, according to Donald Trump, you know, like, he doesn't care.
Yeah. I mean,
his voters don't care.
His voters don't care. And that's like what we all are paying attention to right now is what percent of the 20% of Republican voters who voted against Donald Trump on Tuesday this week, what percent of them care? My take is that it's more than people think. My take is that having the former vice president and former members of the cabinet and former members of Republican leadership doing a nonstop tour around the country all year, saying to people who have been lifelong Republicans that they will not support Donald Trump again, will have a meaningful effect on some percent of those people. And given how close the election currently is and how close we expect it to be in November, it doesn't need to be 40% of Republicans. A single digit percent of Republicans is enough.
Totally. Yeah, it's a good point. So we need more op-eds and we need this tour to keep going. And we need former Trump supporters, former Republican Trump supporters to keep saying how bad Trump is.
I think we can count on that. Trump has been doing worse. I was on News Nation this past weekend.
Oh my God, that's right. I was dying.
I was asked.
News Nation.
You
were set up.
I was asked about Trump's trial and how if it's going to help him. And I was like, oh my God. And the answer was no, because the more that Trump is in the news, the worse his polling does. Because people remember what they did not like about the Trump years and about him as a person. And he's largely been out of the spotlight for the last year. It may not feel like it, but he hasn't. We have not been paying attention to his little tweetstagrams, and we have not been covering him front page news when he says that immigrants are poisoning the blood of the country. Like, the next day, the headline was about Nikki Haley. The other thing that happened this week was the Pennsylvania primary, and 20% of Republicans voted against Donald Trump in the Pennsylvania primary. Over 150,000 voters voted for Nikki Haley or whoever else. And most people are like, oh yeah, that always happens. There's like some discontent. But what doesn't always happen is the abundance of evidence that this individual tried to overthrow our democracy. That is a new twist to how primaries are unfolding. And when you have people like Liz Cheney and Dick Cheney and Mitt Romney and John Bolton and all of these people, Mike Pence, the former vice president, walking around saying, not this guy, not again, he's a danger to democracy. Like, that is new. And so I think that Liz Cheney and these other Republicans who have managed to keep their spine straight, they have an important role to play in that process.
It's giving.
Well, the tea this week has been piping, and we do love
so
when a colleague goes on TV to just unload on their colleagues. I think about doing it to you all the time.
Oh my God, what would you say?
You don't want to know. You have to tune into News Nation at 8 a.m. on a Sunday.
Oh my God, iconic. I would love to be roasted on News Nation of all places.
Let's see what this Republican congressman had to say about his colleagues.
He will survive. Look, the House is a rough and rowdy place, but Mike Johnson is going to be just fine. I served 20 years in the military. It's my absolute honor to be in Congress, but I served with some real scumbags. Look, Matt Gaetz, he paid minors to have sex with him at drug parties. Bob Good endorsed my opponent, a known neo-Nazi. These people used to walk around with white hoods at night. Now they're walking around with white hoods in the daytime.
It's giving CNN After Dark.
It's giving facts.
Wow. Yeah, it's kind of giving The Sopranos. Like, wow, you do not want to cross Tony Gonzalez, dude. He is out for blood. Real scumbag.
It's giving line in the sand. Like, now I also love, he's like, okay, I'm going to go on national television and I'm just going to talk shit. And I'm going to tell people who you really are. So don't come for me. Mitt Romney, who is a good Mormon man, he was on the record talking about sex.
I think everybody has made their own assessment of President Trump's character. And so far as I know, you don't pay someone $130,000 not to have sex with you.
It's giving zinger. Like, he knew he nailed that one. You see the glimmer in his eye as he like looked at the camera?
Yeah, it's definitely giving retirement era. Like, you know that he's on his way out. He doesn't give a,
totally.
He doesn't give a shit anymore. He's like, I'm going to say also, giving, what I want.
Good point, Mitt Romney. Yeah. You don't pay someone $130,000 not to have sex with you.
That's true. Yeah.
Who would have thought, you know, as someone who worked on the 2012 election cycle, who would have thought I'd be laughing at Mitt Romney right now?
And I mean, it's also giving fall from grace. Remember when there was a point in time when he was like, it felt like a shoo-in for president. And
yeah,
now he's like outcast by his own party, sitting here making Daily Show jokes about the former president.
Listen, I'll take him, Mitt Romney. Keep him coming.
Yeah, true.
You already have confessed that you don't read my text messages in a timely manner.
In a timely manner, not always. You have sent me a lot of texts this week.
I know. I will say, in the last, this week, well, you said this was a busy news
week.
Very
busy.
And it was a busy.
It's true.
So I was just like, you know, I have my people and I'm like, boom, 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 boom.
I'm not complaining. Keep them coming. I just can't always get to it in a timely
That's fair.
Fashion.
And I respect boundaries and I respect people communicating boundaries. Mm. Group chat. I want to talk about one thing, which I don't even know if you ever responded to, but I sent it to one of the chats, which was the New York, and I posted on Instagram because I was obsessed with this image for a solid 24 hours. The New York Times posted an infographic of where all the jurors get their news. And there's like one juror who literally reads no news. So they are existing on vibes only, truly. Like smooth brain.
That's our person. That's our person.
Totally. There's like, and it was just like so interesting to me because I do think we live in these, you know, echo chambers of sorts. No matter what, you can try your hardest. I mean, you're on News Nation, so you're out there.
I think that's also something that people lie about. I don't trust people when they say we're. I looked at the graphic. I did look at the infographic that you sent. Each one of them said like one or two things. And I'm like, that is a very old school way of thinking about the news when you were like subscribed to a newspaper that showed up at your door or something. I don't really.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? I don't know. I think that.
Not really. I feel like if I was there, I'd be like, yeah, WNYC. X,
Vibes
Axios,
only.
New York Times, Washington
Post. Okay, right, but you literally just said five things, and each one of them, almost all of them said like one thing, didn't they?
I think it was, that was like an abridged graphic.
Okay,
that
okay.
Did not
okay.
include, because I think they asked people like what podcasts they listen to.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's a Vibes only person on the jury. I'll find out when I get on the front lines.
All of our people, let's be real, all of our people were weeded out as biased jurors. If you've been listening to this pod, you did not make the cut for that jury, and I'm so sorry for you.
No, you were probably there saying, you know, that really chaps my ass, Judge.
Were you into the Taylor Swift album this week? No,
not really. I have to. No, you know, I am a new Swiftie. So, like, I listened to it day of. I am a new Swiftie. My friend literally made me watch the Eras Tour, like, twice in a row. I listened to it. Did you?
No. Sorry.
You know what I'm really into right now, which is very controversial? Very controversial. I'm glad you're set. Sabrina Carpenter's Espresso.
Wow.
You don't know this song?
I do. It really blew up really quick.
So it's very polarizing because some people think it's like AI pop.
Oh, no,
like
I like
candy.
That. I didn't even know that it was polarizing. I just thought that everyone was down.
Yeah. Are you following that New York is having a sports moment with the Knicks and the Rangers both doing exceedingly well in the playoffs?
The Knicks. Fuck the Rangers. NYCFC is on a winning streak.
Okay. So we have the Knicks are winning, the Rangers are winning, and New York Football Club
and
are winning. How about Gotham?
Gotham, their season hasn't started yet, has it? Did it already
yes, it
start?
Did.
Oh, shoot.
Yes.
Emily's going to kill me.
We should go. We should do a vibes only, have, like on the ground at Gotham.
I have free tickets.
So do I. I got the same email.
Oh, yeah, we have the same email. Okay, so let's bring...
Thank you, Emily.
Let's bring 10 friends. If you want to come with us...
12.
Well, the two of us are going to use tickets.
But we have 6 each.
12 minus 2 is... Boom, there it is.
10.
If you want to come with us to a Gotham match in New York, hit us up, DM me, and we will bring you for free. Sports. This is our new sports segment.
I'm going to pivot to our good vibe goodbye, where I'm going to transport vibes only listeners. These are for the wheels up people, as I call them, people who are on planes. We didn't realize we were going to get this good vibe this week. I'm so glad we got it. Literally, hell has no fury. Like, someone who is dealing with an airline when they're not refunding you, or they've taken some junk fee, or your bag is lost and you're paying for it to get returned. So this new announcement from the Biden administration, refunds for canceled flights and significantly delayed flights, which is a standard in Europe, by the way, so we're becoming more cosmopolitan by taking this on. No hidden fees for baggage, etc. Your fee is refunded if baggage doesn't arrive on time. Okay, I'll take that. Airlines have to give a cash refund, no travel credit that expires. How many times have you just gotten like a travel credit that you have to use in a year? And you're like, right, when am I going back to Australia this year? Like, I'm not. And over time, it'll save customers over $500 million. It's billion with a B. So something I did not expect from the Biden administration, that I would have a less clenched butt when it came to travel. I don't feel like I'm going to be cheated by the airlines. And for that, I'm grateful.
Absolutely. Lots of quality of life improvements from the Biden administration. Not everything has to be a polarizing political issue. Good vibe. Those are all the vibes this week. Thanks again for listening. We love it when you come and hang out with us, and we're very grateful that you waited for our special Friday episode. We'll be back again next week on our regular publishing schedule with a new episode out on Wednesday. You, of course, don't want to miss it. Send us a group chat note at vibes@couriernewsroom.com. Catch you next time.
Vibes Only is a production of Courier, a civic media company that protects and strengthens our democracy through credible, fact-based journalism and seeks to create a more informed, engaged, and representative America. Vibes Only is produced by Devin Maroney with support from Courier's Kyle Tharp, RC DeMezzo, and Daniel Strasburger. Tara McGowan is founder and publisher of Courier.